Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And how exciting it is to be with you once again, to pop our heads up out of the isolation bubble. How wonderful for me, my name is Tony Squires, to look around and see the happy smiling faces of my good friends who I've missed dearly. Emma Lawrence, welcome to you. Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, hello. How has it been? How have you coped?
Well, I've missed you guys, first and foremost.
Have you really?
I have, yes. I've missed you dearly. But I've still been working during the week at Channel 10, so yes. It hasn't been too bad for me. So it just means life's been a little bit less hectic, but still been lots going on in the footy world. Yeah. So some friends said, what are you reporting on with no footy? But there's been so much to talk about.
So many stories, and we're going to get into those. MG, how's your bubble been?
My bubble's been burst. No, fantastic. Extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures, and something we're going through at the moment. I think it's a big reset on not just rugby league, but the world. Everything's just, as we know, has changed forever. It's so good to be 12 days away from NRL, but like 6 weeks ago, we thought, no way we'd play again this year, but here we are 12 days away. I can't wait.
It's funny, Tony, I sort of came out of partial lockdown last night to end up going to a few of the guys, one of the guys' garage, just locking myself down for 6 hours with some beer and some, you know, PlayStation and the like. So
I'm free.
That's my kind of isolation, exactly right. No, it's been good. I've enjoyed it, actually. At parts, it's been pretty tough from a business perspective, but in relation to spending time with, you know, loved ones and all that sort of stuff and being around the house and
homeschooling.
Getting things done, homeschooling.
How are you with the homeschooling? Maths skills?
Yeah, it's a bit difficult because 80% of mine's 80% of my homeschooling is in German, so I struggle a little bit. But anyway,
Saints.
There you go.
As MG says, the exciting thing is we are going to see some football very, very shortly. I know that you're all as excited about that as we are. In the past few weeks, obviously, there's been a lot of games that have been replayed and recalled. I know that Fox Sports has been doing it. We've been doing it right here as well. I know, MG, did you watch when your grand final was played? Ryan, yours is on the other night. I was watching and I was just hoping. I'm just picturing you using the whole day just remembering what you did on that day, that grand final. Sitting there in your outfit. You still got your games?
No, I missed it. Yeah, I've missed it. I haven't been watching a lot of TV, to be honest, Tone, other than your show that comes on. When does it come on again?
Yeah,
that day. Yeah, I watched that one. But, I missed that one, but you still remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. What about you, MG? You watched, didn't you?
Oh, did I what? No, I had a party for it.
Did you?
A self-isolating party, yeah. All the family come in the bedroom, watched our... You know what was different about it? It was seeing different commentary. Yeah, Vossi called it with Blocker and Mickey Ennis, and it kind of refreshed the result didn't change, which was great, but it was just... It was one of them times in life where you just remember where you were at that time, and I just love... nothing can take away that grand final being the first one to do it as a Panther.
It's pretty easy to remember where you were when you were actually playing.
Well, you know what? It's 30 years ago. You know, time has gone that quick. When you see something like that on the screen, but you go, well, Jesus, it was so good to be part of that. I loved it.
So much coming up on today's show. We have 3 glorious hours to share with you to get through a lot of the stuff that has been going on and how it's going to look in the next couple of weeks as we head towards the 28th and the kickoff. Round 3 of the competition. Should it be round 3? Should it be round 1 of a new competition? That's one topic we'll get into. The new rule changes, we'll have a look at those. Do you like those? I'm very keen to get MG and Emma and you, of course, Ryan Girdler, your thoughts on that. So much more. Wayne Pierce from Project Apollo will join us. It seems like it's Apollo 11. It's all going tickety-boo rather than Apollo 13 when they went so close. So close. And had to head back to Earth. So we'll talk to Wayne Pierce. Liam Knight to get a player's perspective as well. So much ahead. Thanks for joining us on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
John Mellencamp for you. Not John Cougar, not Johnny Cougar, but John Mellencamp, Rain on the Scarecrow. I love that song. A little bit of dancing going on here, and partly because the football is coming back, and we do have rounds three and round four. The draw is out and about. Let's just run through them first, certainly round three, because they've done some. There's some great games here. And when we left the competition after round two, there were, what, six teams that hadn't been defeated. So they match up in three games in this first round, back round three, starting on Thursday, May 28th. So we have the Broncos and the Eels. We have the Cowboys and the Titans. The Roosters and the Rabbitohs. The Warriors, the Brave Warriors, take on the Dragons. The Sharks and Tigers. Storm, Raiders, Panthers, Knights, the Sea Eagles, Bulldogs. All right, Mark Geyer, thoughts?
For mine, four games that stand out, excuse me, Eels, Broncos, yep. that's a massive game. Roosters and Rabbitohs, the local derby is obviously always a great game. Storm Raiders, wow, that's another classic.
Yep.
And the Panthers and Knights, both teams jumped out of the blocks beautifully. I want to see if, you know, the Panthers in particular, our Panthers, Gerds,
yeah,
whether the current or the indiscretions of the last couple of weeks are going to hurt them at all. And Massive call from the NRL to put these games on. I love the draw, Tone. I really, yep, really think it's going to captivate everybody.
It's a good start, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that Broncos-Eels game. And two sides that really did start the competition and came out of the blocks really well. Going to be interesting. Actually, I think we'll find out a little bit about, you know, which players have taken this period quite seriously. I mean, it's always hard to sort of train on your own. You know, some people do it a lot easier than others. But, you know, these guys would have been put on some pretty strict regimes, and you know, you would like to think that most of them have done it, but I'm sure there's a few guys in this opening round that are going to be a little bit nervous. You know, it's going to be tough to get the air into the lungs. They're probably going into round three. Usually it's a really, you've got a couple under your belt and you're feeling pretty good and your timing's starting to come back. For these guys, it's almost like starting again.
And the last time the Broncos and the Eels played, I think Eels put 50 of them in that final. The good news for the Broncos is that the poker machines aren't open yet.
But it's a new year, new team, Tony. Yes. Anthony Seibold said they won't be mentioning that.
No, I know. They played great in the first two rounds, the Broncos.
For me, it's a pretty obvious one, but the Roosters and Rabbitohs, purely because, I mean, I've been still working throughout this period, and those two teams have just been constantly in the headlines. The obvious one, Latrell Mitchell, yep, with getting in trouble, that incident with Josh Adokar. He had a number of players coming out and defending him, saying, why are the media so obsessed with Latrell Mitchell? No matter what he does, he is in the spotlight. He could just go down to get a coffee and everyone becomes obsessed. So,
well, you're not allowed to if you're a rugby league player, are you?
Well, that's true. At the moment, no. But a lot of players have jumped to his defence. And now, first round back, you'd think, okay, getting into the footy, it might die down a bit. But no, because he's playing the Roosters, yep, of course, he's the focal point. Will he be fullback? Wayne Bennett says, yes, he will be the fullback. So, again, he's at the centre of the headline. So it will be interesting to see, I guess, how he handles that. And for the Roosters, Nick Politis has been quite vocal throughout this period as well in terms of scrapping points. You've got the Morris brothers together. So there are so many storylines to come out of that match alone.
What will it be like? I mean, for players, you guys who have been there, the pre-season's much talked about how much conditioning you put into your body before the season proper. And they've gone through that. They've played 2 weeks. They've had this period. You said it's going to show those guys who have taken this period that, you know, that while they're not playing seriously, they've been able to get back to just a couple of weeks. Yeah. How will they be physically as they hit the field on the 28th?
Hard to say. You would think those timing issues when it comes to, obviously, you know, tackling technique and passing and all those, that crispness that they would have started to sort of feel it round three, round four, that has probably subsided. And that would have been the thing that they would have struggled with, obviously, doing the most in this isolation period. They've been able to stay at home and train and do those things. But, you know, teamwork, you know, building combinations, especially for clubs that have some new key combinations moving into round three, it's a start over basically.
Yeah, and you got to expect there's going to be a lot of soft tissue injuries as well. These guys haven't really had much contact in the last 6 weeks. You can do what you want as far as fitness goes, but as soon as you get tackled by two blokes for 110 kilos, it's a lot of corks, I imagine, in the quads, in the biceps. Maybe a couple of, you know, niggling knee injuries we'll see in the next couple of weeks, but that's the negative side of it. The positive is that I honestly, Tone, I can't believe that we're 2 weeks away from 12 days away from seeing rugby league, where it's astonishing, really.
Well, everyone said that Peter Volandis was crazy going back 5-6 weeks ago setting that date. But, wow. I mean, they've had so many hiccups along the way, but slowly each week the pieces of the puzzle have fallen together and we're set for May 28th.
Yeah, at first, I must admit, I thought he was being bullish about it, but the way that the world, well, certainly Australia, has changed in that time, and he said it openly. He wasn't saying, let's play right now. Mm. They set that date, the 28th, and see what the world looks like. And certainly for us at the moment, where things do tend to be, you know, in terms of the restrictions are coming off, as long as it's maintained sensibly, and it's a lot of pressure, and it will remain an incredible amount of pressure on the players throughout this season. Mm. But you get the sense that now it's absolutely right that they run out.
I've got no doubt in my mind, if Peter Volandis wasn't at the helm, there's no way, shape or form, that we'd be playing footy in 12 days. He's, man, I can't believe this guy. He's the knight in shining armour. He's the way he, you know, got the racing industry off its knees back in 2007 with the equine flu.
Yeah.
He's obviously a major in commerce, and that's the reason, I suppose, he wants to cut the one ref, 2.5 mil, 3 mil he's going to save. We'll talk about that a little bit later, I know. But everything he's touched has turned to gold, even from his first press conference when he kind of straight away said to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, we need some help. He's already two or three steps ahead of everybody. Every time he does something, he's, you know, the Apollo project. Like, what is this? Like, who thinks of these things? This guy is unbelievable.
And he's managed to convince the governments to be able to, I mean, even if the NRL was saying, let's go ahead, there were so many roadblocks, particularly with the Queensland government being so slow to come to the party and letting the teams train there. But through his ability to negotiate with them, it just, every day I just think, wow, he's done it. You thought, no, okay, that's, could possibly be the roadblock that pushes back this start date, but every challenge that's come along, Peter Volandis has managed to solve it for the game.
You get the sense that he's used to getting his way. You'd imagine if you're going to lunch with Peter Volandis and you suggest a restaurant, you go to the restaurant he wants to go to.
What do you think his favourite restaurant would be?
There's a movie coming. The Volandis movie, played by Al Pacino. Come on.
I think the thing that come out that I get from the way that he's sort of moving forward and the leadership that he's shown, it always seems to be the good of the game is at hand. And I think that's, you know, he's really doing it, and he's not really up, you know, too concerned about who he upsets along the way. You can see that, you know, there's been some big hitters in our game have come out and been critical of the way that we're moving forward and the attitude in which he's taken in varying instances. But I just like the fact that I think from the core, and same as with the rule changes, as MG said, we will discuss at some point, they all just seem to me to be coming from a place where he wants the game to, whether it be improve as a spectacle, to, you know, be moving forward economically, totally. You know, and he's not worried about treading on a few toes here and there, which essentially you're going
to
do.
I agree with that, Gerds. Can I just say, and I preface my statement by saying, we're going to get to the rule changes in a minute, and I'm totally open to those rule changes and interested to see how they go. But there is a little bit that people are riding along in a positive way with Peter Volandis, which is great. If Todd Greenberg had unilaterally decided that he was going to change the rules 2 weeks into a season, he would have been re-crucified. Well, he'd already
been
crucified.
Yeah,
but there would have been more nails
without a doubt
into that hand.
Probably the case. You know what I've enjoyed about Peter Volandis too? He's made himself very accessible to the media. So even topics where you'd think, oh, he perhaps will want to shy away from this and can't really comment on it, every time when doing interviews for Channel 10 that I've requested an interview, he said yes every time, bar one, when it was about the broadcast deal and it's clearly confidential, couldn't give away much information, but always said yes. If it was late in the afternoon, he's only got a couple of minutes in between meetings.
Yep.
Wow.
Always made himself available.
Yep. Hey, MG, you mentioned it in passing just a minute ago. How do you think your Panthers will go? Nathan Cleary, of course, that suspension for 2 weeks. It's not just him not being there for this first round, but I guess it is the whole brouhaha that has surrounded him over the past few weeks.
Yeah, well, he's a marquee player, and what it does, it gives another young bloke in Matt Burton an opportunity to shine. Look, when you take a State of Origin halfback out of your team, you're going to suffer. And after their first two games, you know, way back, they looked like, along with the Knights and Broncos, I thought were the three teams that kind of stood out for mine. Taking Nathan Cleary out of the Panthers is a massive hole. Massive hole. He seemed to have cottoned on that life without James Maloney isn't going to be that difficult. He actually looked like he was going to relish it. And in a shortened season, when we've got 20 games, and these two games without him, they were going to play, I think, the Storm and Broncos originally if we stuck to the same draw. They've got the Panthers, where I'm just looking here. They've got the Knights, then the Warriors. So Knights is a very hard game. Warriors, obviously, you mentioned earlier how heroic they've been, Tone. And without the Warriors being so brave, who knows? We mightn't be in the situation that we are at the moment, but they're going to struggle. They'll struggle without Nathan Cleary. There's no two ways about it. But this is when the depths of your club are tested.
All right, we want to get into those rule changes, and a little while, I want to get your thoughts on that. If there's anything at all as we go through this afternoon, 133353 is our number. Give us a call. But we'll look at those new changes, see how they will affect, who will benefit, who it won't. All those issues on the one ref and so on. That's next. This is the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to have your company. Emma Lawrence, Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler. My name's Tony Squires. All right, these rule changes. It starts on May 28. It is mid-season. Two rounds have already gone through. Now there will be one referee. Did we say it was... What year was it when we actually went to the pocket
2009?
Referee?
2008.
2008. Okay. So it's a long time. We obviously have seen it in international games. We have been controlled by a single referee. It's not a popular move by the coaches and players. They didn't want it to be implemented now. And it is an unusual thing that we are seeing such a fundamental thing happen mid-season. Hasn't been tested out in a pre-season or Charity Shield, any of those things. But as we said, this is the Peter Volandi's way. This is what he wanted. This is what he gets. I'm just going to quickly just run through the rule changes that go alongside the fact that we only have one referee, whether that's going to make it more difficult for the how many sets of eyes you've got on the ruck, which seems to be the key. A ruck infringement will result in six again, except for professional fouls, repeated infringements where play has broken down. A full penalty can be blown in those instances. A professional foul or repeated infringement penalty will result in automatic sin bin. Automatic sin
without
bin.
Without warning.
Without, well, the referee will, you don't have to warn exactly.
They've always done that over the past couple of seasons.
Correct. The referee will control the 10 metres with the assistance of an open side touch judge.
Wow.
The touch judge nearest the ruck to assist with monitoring the play of the ball and can step onto the field. So the touchies can get in, get involved, have a bit of a bark at the players in the ruck. There'll be a ruck spotter in the bunker. What do you do for a living? I'm a ruck spotter.
Yeah, I'm a spotter.
It's on my passport. Ruck spotter.
Well, look, there's that spotter. Yeah, wow. So, get his autograph.
Make sure what a pickup on in the bar.
Make sure you say correctly, though, Tay.
Yeah, exactly. When bars are open again. Oh, they are about you in there. Oh, what do you do? I'm a ruck spotter.
Yeah.
There'll be a ruck spotter.
Got his own business card. I'm a spotter. Yeah, look at that.
There will be a ruck spotter in the bunker. I'm a ruck spotter. Where did you go? Oh, in the bunker. Okay.
You love spotting rucks,
don't you? We'll assist the referee during breaks in play. And if the referee decides a player while in possession, this is good too, I like this, a player while in possession deliberately breaks down play to milk a six-again call into a full penalty, the referee will order a scrum and hand possession to the defending team. So there you go. That's obviously the fundamental. All the other things are important in terms of only having one referee, but that is the rule changes that go alongside it. What are our thoughts? Emma Lawrence.
Look, despite the opposition, I know a lot of that has come from coaches, and you can understand that because they've been coaching a certain way to manipulate the rules, but I don't mind it. I mean, I think if there is ever a time to try it, it is now. I know usually you would have it trialled in lower grades or pre-season or something, but given there won't be a lot of sport across the world, fans across the world could potentially be watching this game, and the idea is that it will try and eliminate the wrestle and have a faster game. And let's be honest, when you've got games where the attacking players are brought into it, a bit more attacking flair, they're the ones that you remember that are more entertaining, not the ones dominated by defence. So I think from an entertainment perspective, I like where they're trying to go. I'm not saying there will not be issues. There will be teething issues. It'll it'll be hard over the first few weeks to find consistency and as players get used to it. But overall, I do like the concept.
Good.
Well, I think, you know, it's robust. The way that Peter goes about things obviously has proven that again with this, you know, 2.5 weeks for, you know, all the clubs and the teams to get their head around the new rules and the referees and everyone as well. So, yeah, but as I said before, you know, I think he's trying to do it for the good of the game. Everyone's complained about the wrestle now for the last, what, 10, 15 years. Does this eliminate it? It's hard to say whether it's going to work. I think they need to make sure that they're strong on the fact that once they apply the rules, they stick with it, because, as Emma said, you know, they're going to get a lot of criticism over the next couple of weeks, and there's going to be times when they probably feel like getting in there and saying, that doesn't work, let's change this, let's change that, and they're going to be reactive. Now, the NRL now need to make sure that, and the polo and whoever they are, need to make sure that they're really rigid and they stick with this, yeah, and they see it through, and I think that's going to be, you know, a big challenge for Peter and the group. But I think it can work long term. I do. I like the fact that one referee will have total autonomy of the contest. I think it's a lot clearer for him. I'm not a referee, but I would imagine it would be a lot clearer for him once he gets his fitness and, you know, that back, to control a game the way that he wants to and not have someone else. I would imagine it's sometimes almost interfering. And I think it's also going to be easier for the players, because you adjust to the style of a referee during the contest, and then sometimes, you know, one referee might have you back 8 metres and the other one's got you back 12.
Yep.
And it becomes, there's unfair advantage created at times. So I think there's a lot of positives, and hopefully it's taken in the right way by the people that don't want it, which is the problem. Because if you allow the coaches, most of them I know, you know, say that they'll have the good of the game, but self-interest comes into play.
They want to win.
And they, you know, if that doesn't suit their roster, well, they're going to go with the system or the way the rule changes that do. But they're still the ones that need to buy in to making the game better, because they're going to be there working out ways now that they can control the ruck, because that is one of the major parts of the game. And how can we get around these new rules that the commission have now put in place? I wouldn't think all the 16 coaches are going to go away and say, that's great, that's for the good of the game. Now, how can we play some open rugby league that's going to bring put a great spectacle on TV?
Yeah. I'm going to get your thoughts, obviously, just on the one referee as well, MG. But in terms of the rules, if you're coming out of your own end, as a team, would you prefer the old getting a penalty so you can kick it 30 metres up, or is the six again thing a positive?
I'm not too sure. I really haven't got my head around the six again type thing. I know it's going to be good for the game because it's just a lot more flowing, yep, of the game. But I look, as far as the one referee goes, the qualifier for me is that everything Peter Vlandy's touches turns to gold. This is the one thing I think he's got an asterisk next to his name on. I the game has totally outgrown, I think, one referee. I called a game in October last year, the Kiwis versus Australia, with one referee. And I've always been a fan of one ref. And I thought that night, I went, nah, I don't ever want to see one referee again. There was so much laying around the ruck. There was so much laborious play. It was just a dog's breakfast. And I said, but you know what? These times we're in at the moment are extraordinary. I don't care if I've got to referee the game. I want to see a game of rugby league. So if it's one ref, we can all pick the eyes out of why it's good, why it's bad. We all know that when rules get brought in, that coaches, captains, clubs manipulate them, and there's no difference to the one ref or two ref. The first people do when authority is removed is they try and excuse me, bend the rules.
Yep.
No different with this. The one referee is going to make it, you know, a more free-flowing game, but also around the ruck area. And as you mentioned then, Tone, reading out the instructions of what... I thought the referee might have had three tackles around the ruck, three tackles at the 10-metre line, but he's going to predominantly be the 10-metre line. So who's going to watch the ruck area?
Mm.
I mean, you can't ask the touch judge to do it with who's 30 metres away sometimes.
Well, Cameron Smith, when Melbourne play, he'll have a...
Well, he's another ref.
But the touch judges are allowed to move in field, so they'll be allowed to come in the blind side.
Are they spotters?
Yeah, they can be involved.
You know what, speaking to some players as well, they have said, just with two referees, that was sometimes confusing anyway, because occasionally you'd have the pocket ref going, oh, hand on the ball, but then... you know, the other one would overrule them. So it didn't always work well anyway. They were saying, hold on, you just said hand on the ball. So players have said there were issues with the two anyway. It doesn't mean they saw everything correctly, because the one who was there, who was able to see, then got overruled anyway.
It's going to be really interesting to see how liberal the referees are in relation to just giving that six again wave and continuing on. Yeah. I mean, that's what they need, to get that balance right. They can't just overcook that and start giving sides three or four repeat sets in attacking situations if they just see a little indiscretion because it's sort of convenient. Didn't see that. Okay, have another six, boys. And need to make sure they're really solid around all those decisions and they're consistent with it.
And let's not forget, the world is watching. The world's watching our game. Yep. There's no other sport that's starting like as quick as we are. So we've got everyone in...
There's something going on in South Korea.
Was it last year, though, guys? Was it last year when we tried to eradicate the wrestling in the first 15 rounds when there was 30 penalties
a game? Let's not say that.
We worked out that it wasn't a great spectacle and ratings and things went down and the fans weren't happy about it. Then we changed the rules for the back half of the season. Isn't that sort of similar to what we're doing now?
There is a little bit of that. There is a little bit. Obviously, the concern is that the referees aren't happy, or the idea of, you know, we don't know whether this was initially, it seemed like it was a cost-cutting idea, and then came the idea that it was, in fact, a fan-based thing that the NRL had seen. The fans had spoken, and they were listening.
But the fans want a shoulder charge back as well.
Correct.
The fans want a scrum.
Contested scrum.
You can't. I mean, the fans are the bloodlines of our game, but... I mean,
we all saw the car that Homer Simpson built. I mean, honestly, if you just get it doesn't work. Four coffee cup holders. Sylvia Vicchio, of course, is the chair of the Professional Rugby League Match Officials. Now, he isn't happy, and I think they're at the Fair Trade Commission trying to work out what goes on and how affected they are. Here's what he had to say.
You know, what happens to their pays from the 28th of May onwards, it's still to be resolved. We still haven't been approached in terms of what their pays are. Going from two referee down to one will mean that those that remain, because the casuals have been let go, those that remain will potentially be doing more work. And what does it mean for their pay? And we've sought to communicate, to engage, to talk through all of these issues repeatedly with the NRL through Graham Annesley. It's been either mute or a benign response.
Yeah, Silvio Del Vecchio. Now, whether, I mean, Peter Volandis has responded, hasn't he?
Peter Volandis, he hit back, and he hit back hard, basically saying that that's a load of rubbish. They've been, if anything, going over the top with their consultation, and in the CBA agreement, they're only required to consult the Referees Association once a decision had been made, but they were consulting them beforehand, during, after. So Volandis disagrees with those statements and says it's just ludicrous and that aggressive approach is not helping anyone. So they're certainly at loggerheads. Who knows what the truth is? I haven't seen examples of emails or text messages whether there has been dialogue, but Peter Volandis maintains there has been.
There's been obstacles for the last month. We had the social distancing with the Tyree boys, the Penrith boys. We've had the flu shot dramas. We've had drama after drama. The obstacles have turned to meteorites. But somehow we're 12 days away from playing footy. Once the footy starts, you know, all this stuff about, you know, refs and flu shots and self-isolating, well, it won't go away, but it'll be in the background. And we'll start talking about how good this bloke's come back out of isolation, how good he is, will he play Origin? That'll all be the discussion points. And that's, you know, rugby league is a beast. Rugby league is, I think Matty John said once, if rugby league was a country, it'd be Afghanistan. The warring, always at war, always at war. You know, and I think he's so true. We can always find something negative to talk about in rugby league. And then we can always find something positive, which is 12 days away.
All right, and exactly. Is 12 days away, is that a new competition? Is it the continuation of our old? Should the points be scrapped? There's an argument that went through before, but now with these rule changes, does it change the picture completely when we get there next on the Saturday Scrum?
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Guy, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. Gee, it's lovely to have your company. We have been in our isolation bubble, but we are back and thrilled to be so, as is Rugby League. May 28th, that is going to be kickoff. We'll speak to Wayne Pearce from the Project Apollo team in a little while. Reedy will join us. Reed Marnie, I now understand, is also going to have a chat. As well as Liam Knight. So there is a lot on the dance card. We're just kind of wrapping up now what we're talking about, these rule changes. Just wondering, our team, how that affects. I know I've heard lots of different opinions. When the idea of the game coming back, the debate was then held, should the points disappear? So everybody starts on ground zero. That we decided, no, that certainly shouldn't happen. But with these rule changes, with what seems to be, you know, we've got one referee now, we have a whole lot of different things. Is this a different competition? Should they be playing starting on zero? I know that teams like the Dragons would love that to be the case.
But I love it. Yeah, I was waiting for it. Yeah.
It's funny that those who have been advocating to start it again seem to be the teams that are 0-2.
Yeah.
Just an interesting observation.
Are you saying I'm shallow, like a car park puddle? It's probably true.
It does make it hard, but with a shortened season for those teams that are 0-2. But I mean, the teams that are 2-2, you know, they've started the season on fire. So I don't think they should be penalised for starting on fire. There's a debate either way. Again, we like the one referee. Everyone's got their opinion on what should be or what shouldn't be. We're watching footy in 12 days. Like it's you know, if you're good enough from 0-2 to get, you know, six in a row, win six in a row, well, you're good enough. It doesn't matter if you're on 0 points or 4 points. But I really think this season we're going to see someone come from the clouds and win the comp. I think it's going to be a real upset. You know, someone like a Tigers or I just think someone we haven't even been speaking about as one of the powerhouses of the game are going to come from nowhere and snatch this competition. And that's what makes, for me, that's what's so captivating about it. The Dragons even tone.
Yeah, exactly. Or the Warriors.
Don't
Warriors
make the Warriors.
The Warriors.
That makes the movie.
Oh. Well, you know what? The Warriors, for mine, are the story of 2020. Yeah. The way they've conducted themselves, the way they've sacrificed things, the way they're just a real, like, they should be everyone's second team at the moment because they've just done the game such a service. And they could, this time away from, you know, their homeland, I don't know, Gerds, whether I would have done the same thing. If a Monday player, if someone said to me, MG, you've got to go to Auckland for, you know, 3, 4, 5 months and not see your family. They've made the ultimate sacrifice for the game, and they should be applauded for it. And I think that I wish them all the best. I'm going to be rooting for the Warriors in this revised season.
MG, we couldn't get you past St Mary's.
I need a passport.
I know what the answer would have been.
No, mate, I'm crook.
I just think that there's going to be an asterisk next to this comp. In every major league around the world, 2020 is going to have a big asterisk next to it, regardless, whether it be Liverpool with the Premier League. And so I just don't think, you know how much goes into an NRL game. Those first two games can just be put aside and cast away and said, well, we've had a bit of a break and we've changed some rules. I just think there's too much that goes in to getting ready for those games, putting them on and going through that process to just say that those points
mean nothing,
aren't worth anything anymore because, you know, the season's been, you know, changed and there's some real changes. I understand all the arguments, Tony, but I just think that every team at the start of the year were prepared and played that in those two rounds the best that they could, not knowing what was going to happen in the future. So those results need to stand.
I tend to agree with you. And players made sacrifices within games. Now, was it Jaden Brayley?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's plays, the thing. Exactly. If you lose a player for the season,
he stays on injured to get those 2 points, risking, and you know, in fact, it obviously exacerbated his injury and is out for a long time. He makes that sacrifice for those 2 points.
Very good point. Very
so
good point.
You can't great take point. Those 2 points off them.
Great no. point.
I think it's simple.
I love when we agree on things, Sonny.
Yeah, I know. This is so good.
Isolation's been good for us.
we should see less of each other. It really seems to work. This is the Saturday Scrum. Stick around.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Can't believe we haven't spoken about State of Origin in so long. Usually this time of the year, that's all we're talking about.
Well, usually we'd be picking our first
correct
teams for the first game.
Absolutely right.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do have the information now. As we know, the first two rounds, the draw has been released, and also the news that State of Origin will be played post-season. Now, it'll be three consecutive weeks. The Wednesday night, I think, has been confirmed. And interestingly, again, mentioned Peter Volandis, who is, you know, he's massive in all of what's going on at the moment. He's kind of he's Trump-esque.
He has
given that he's involved with Racing New South Wales and does like to put Melbourne, the Victorian Racing, their noses out of joint. Interesting that the first State of Origin will be on the Wednesday following the Melbourne Cup, so there'll be a lot of media surrounding Origin and not so much about the Cup, perhaps. But what does this mean for the players? Do you have to play in a final series, do you think, because of what, that 5 weeks?
Well, you don't have to, but it's going to be like the
old... help.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on those final series, and unless you're a guy that's been playing Origin for the last couple of years, done a really good job for whichever team, regardless, you're going to have to make those finals, and you're going to have to play some good footy in those finals. And if you're not involved in that, you're going to have to train really hard. And then if you've got someone in your position that's going really well in the finals, comes through and wins a grand final and bumps you out, just because the way that the it fell and the season was stretched out and it wasn't in its regular time slot.
Yep.
It's going to be some nervous boys there that don't make the finals.
But you don't, with the Kangaroos tours at the end of the year, those that didn't play finals, that didn't necessarily rule them out of getting an Australian jumper. I know you're at an advantage to keep playing, but...
I think the intensity, when you go on a Kangaroo tour, you usually have a couple of games sometimes against the English clubs, or there's a couple of warm-up games where you go and play New Zealand in a friendly and they're going on a tour and you're going on a tour, so you kind of get a game under your belt. But to come out of 4 or 5 weeks of no contact or not playing a game and then get thrown into the Origin arena, I think that's a big ask.
Do they then pick a bit of a squad, those that can be in a Blues or Maroon squad that are not in the... their teams aren't in the finals, and they can keep training with other potentials.
They'd have to be trained on squads, wouldn't they, MG? You'd imagine.
Yeah, I think only four players from the current Origin squad weren't in finals footy last year, which I know when I made the Kangaroo Tour in 1990, I was told basically the week leading up to the grand final that it was out of me and Gary Coyne for the last spot, the 28th spot on the plane, and basically whoever won the grand final was going. So once we got beat, I thought, well, there goes my chance. And at the club that night, they read out the names, Greg Alexander, Brad Fittler, John Cartwright, and Mark Geyer. And I went, wow. The goalposts have changed as far as Origin goes. I agree with Gerds. I think all the eyeballs will be on the semi-final players, and you're only as good as your last game. I think that if you are in a team, I think there's only four players, as I mentioned earlier, who weren't in finals footy this year, who are in the Origin side. Clemmer and Cleary are two of them. You'd think they'd retain their spots just if they hold their form. But I really agree that, all eyes will be on them semi-finals. If you're playing really good footy in semi-final footy, and Freddie and Brandy and Badiris will be watching them finals like never before. And Queensland, Kevy and his cohorts will be doing the same thing. I think it's a big advantage. Put it that way. If you're playing in the semi-finals and finals footy, it's a massive advantage if you're coming up against a bloke who isn't.
I guess it's the same as when the Origin team is picked, bar a couple of incumbents or some that have been there for a few years, a large chunk of the team is from those teams that are doing well that are in the top four at the ladder anyway.
It's almost an opportunity for a proof of concept, isn't it? Because they've talked about potentially doing this for a long, long time. We know how disruptive Origin is. We know that there's a lot of people that don't, a lot of club fans that are really passionate about their club that don't actually want their players selected in Origin because of injury and form and those sorts of things. So it almost gives the commission a good look of potentially what it could look like with an Origin at the end of the season.
Yep.
And this might be, I know international footy is really important, but I actually like Origin in the middle of the NRL season because I think it breaks it up. It gives us something else to chew on for a while, and we're picking teams, and it gives the game, there's a little bit of a fresh air there in the middle of the season. But I also understand how lethargic the competition comes there for those 4 or 5 weeks as well.
It will be great, and given there's been disruption already for the season, it's perfect that we get to see a season that goes beginning, middle and end without the Origin happening.
Yep.
There is, I guess, if you go back then and think for future years, the notion that you play it, you get to the grand final and that's done, and then you try to rebuild the excitement for State of Origin may somehow impact impact it. True. But certainly it's going to be good for this the season proper without Origin in its middle, MG.
Couldn't agree more. And I know that point about, you know, what, 11, usually 10 or 11 games into the season, you are putting your head up for Origin. Now you've got 20 games to prove yourself. It's a lot longer season as far as Origin selection goes. But I know that if I won the grand final, the last thing in my mind would be a State of Origin.
And
so, yeah. You know, if you win the comp, you want to pay like it's 1999. And you go in Origin. Oh no, I've got a cork. You know, it's just. And that's the point. Yeah. I think any other year, I think this for this revised year, yep, go for it. But as far as going forward, I love Origin mid-year. I don't care about, you know, club footy suffering. I love the build-up. I love that 6-week period where we nothing but Origin is dominating headlines. You know, and then the comp kind of kick-starts again 2 or 3 weeks after Origin. We see the run home is enigmatic. It's fantastic to watch. But for this you know, pandemic era, bring it on. As soon as the comp's over, we've got 3 Origin games to sink our teeth into. How good's that?
Well, for those saying that there'll be an asterisk next to this season regardless and it can affect the integrity of the comp with the rule changes and the stoppages and whatnot, at least this makes it as fair as possible for the teams because you're not taking players in and out. So this is the best indication possible who's the best team throughout that extended period because you're not taking players out for four.
Great point.
But which also doesn't allow those younger guys an opportunity as well, which we've seen over the years in Origin, which is almost, you know, part of the whole recipe of the season, isn't it, for the NRL? It's like a good time. You see a couple of guys that put their hand up during that period go on, and sometimes, you know, that gives an opportunity to play in a final or go on to a good contract at another club. It might have had an opportunity had they not been seen in first grade.
Well, so it's going to be a lot of young guys aching for a game of footy completely this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a little bit sad, but as again, that's the nature of the world in which we live. Wayne Pearce, the Project Apollo, one of the men who is responsible for getting the competition back up and running on May 28, will join us next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream, steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.